Joshua chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 1, read verses 1 through 9. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3 and do the same, read verses 1 through 9. That doesn't happen very often, amen, but it just so happened today. Joshua 4, Matthew 3. Again, it's good to have everybody today. We're appreciative of you. Thank you for being here, amen. I just want to continue to worship the Lord, amen, in his word today. Praise God. Joshua 4, verse 1. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this might be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean you by these stones? And you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua, so as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in a place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. They went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to come, you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. And we want you to give the Lord praise for his word this morning. Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning, and if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this salt beneath the surface. Amen. Beneath the surface. Look at your neighbor and just say, Beneath the surface. Amen. Praise God. Joshua chapter 3 gives a count of the children of Israel, amen, getting ready to take possession of the promise. We know that they were in bondage in Egypt, and the Lord delivered them out, and they wandered in the wilderness with Moses and Aaron for 40 years, amen, and then come the time, amen, whenever it was time for them to go in and possess the land. God had told them when he brought them out that he gave them a land which has been called the Promised Land, amen, the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey, that is sufficient, that was already given to them and belonged to them, amen. And so Joshua chapter 3 gives account of them taking possession of the promise. Now, possessing the promise is a statement that really can become a generic phrase. Amen. I think it's honestly been overused. It's been misappropriated, if I can say it like that, to satisfy an ideology. Amen. That has been weakened by what we know as prosperity preaching. And so I think we just roll that off of our tongues and possessing the promise or thinking about a one-time attainment of something. Amen. And I want us to understand that just because it's been misappropriated or misused does not mean that there is still not a promise that is to be, amen, possessed by us as we continue to walk in the covenant of God. But see, covenant involves the fulfillment of God's word, and that's what this promise is about. It is about covenant. I have been thinking on covenant this week, amen, and the word of God and how God has given us, amen, this glorious covenant. We may preach up here soon, I don't know, but anyway, we understand that covenant, amen, involves the fulfillment of God's word. So there are promises attached to the covenant of God, that covenant being fulfilled by the blood of Jesus that we sang about earlier this morning, amen, which allows us, amen, to become those living, breathing hallelujahs that we also sing about today, amen, as a witness of that covenant, amen. So walking in the promises that covenant is founded on is legitimate. It is something that we should be doing as children of God. We should be always be in a constant possession, taking possession of everything that is promised to us through the covenant of God. So I don't want you to hear that today and think of it in a generic way or just let it pass by, but to understand that God has called us to take possession. He told them, wherever the sole of your foot shall step, it has already been given to you. And so we understand that Jesus, amen, took care of all of that. Amen, spiritually speaking, whenever he was crucified, buried, and resurrected and ascended back to God, fulfilled that. So we begin to walk in that. And so they are taking, getting ready to take possession. We know that a generation had passed away in the wilderness, the first generation that came out. And now there was raised up the next generation that had grown up in the wilderness. Amen. They had not experienced anything other than the wilderness. Amen. They had heard all of their lives about this happening that happened when their fathers and their parents and their family came out of Egypt. We know when they got to the Red Sea, it was in the way, and God told them to go that way. But God told Moses to stretch forth his rod and to see the deliverance of the Lord come to pass. And we know that the Red Sea parted and they crossed over on dry ground. So imagine how many times that generation heard that story. All of you could have been there. I was there. I watched it. I know it sounds like it's impossible. I know that it sounds like that it's far-fetched, but I watched it happen. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And so all of their lives were accustomed to the wilderness living. They had done nothing but heard about the miracles and the goodness of God and how faithful God was to deliver them. Amen. And that there was a promised land that they were supposed to be living in. Imagine waking up every day and thinking, well, I thought we were supposed to be, if it's anything like any of the kids in our family, they would be asking, well, I thought we were supposed to be living in this land that was lush and full of all that we needed. Why are we still stuck out here in the wilderness? Why are we going the same way day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? It's just the same thing over and over and over again. Who am I talking to today? Are you with me? Amen. Anyone that's ever had that wilderness experience, and for those that don't understand covenant and don't realize that there's more to this abundant life that God promises through the work of Jesus Christ, that we should not get in that mundane day after day. It seems like it's the same thing over and over and over again. Can I get an amen in this house? Hallelujah. But now we get, amen, to the place where they are beginning to take possession. Aaron and Moses have now passed away. Amen. Signifying that generation is gone and God is raising up Joshua. Joshua was left with the responsibility now to take them into the promised land. We know that Joshua looked out over the mountain and he saw it in the distance, and he was visited, amen, by the angel, by a soldier, amen, that praise God, that said, you're going to be able to do this. You got this, Joshua. This is going to happen. And so now here, amen, they are at this place where they're getting ready to receive or take possession or go over into this land that they've heard about all of their lives. And here they are now in front of the swelling Jordan, amen, the Jordan River, amen. And here they are once again with an opposition, praise God, in their way, hallelujah. But on the other side of the Jordan, amen, was the beginning of possessing the promised land. Now God spoke to Joshua, hallelujah, and he told him, he said, I want you to get the priests, and I want them to take the ark, and I want them to go, amen, down into the water. Amen. He said, as they take the ark, amen, as they begin to step at the brink of the water, I want them to go into the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us that as the priest, as soon as the feet of the priest, amen, touched the water right on the brink, right on the edge of the water, that the water began to part, that the Jordan began to separate. Hallelujah. As they begin to make their way down into, amen, the Jordan River, the Bible says that once again, amen, that the bed of the river was dry. And so imagine, amen, the eyes and the minds of this generation who had heard so many times about this Red Sea parting and then crossing over on dry ground. And now they're witnessing, amen, something akin, amen, to that same story. Now they're seeing God reveal himself to them. Amen, that just as I was with your fathers, I am with you. Somebody help me. I'm trying to lay a foundation this morning. Amen. And as they got to the edge of the water, the waters were cut off. And so now they're getting to have this Red Sea experience. They're getting to see, amen, the glory and the miracle power of God that their parents and their grandparents only talked about. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that God told Joshua to have the priest to stand in the midst of the Jordan. And then he said, Joshua said, told one man from each tribe, amen, the 12 tribes of Israel, get one man from each tribe. I want you to have them go down into the bed of the river. Go down, amen, into the river. And I want them to dig up a stone, each one of them to dig up a stone, and I want them to carry it on their shoulder. Amen. And they were to carry that stone on their shoulder, and he said they were going to build a memorial just outside of the Jordan River in Gilgal, where they were going to camp. And so now he went and prepared a man from each tribe. I want you to understand that these men that he prepared had to be men who had strength. They had to be men, amen, who were well able, because he said they were to carry this stone on their shoulder. So this was not just a little stone. These were not just 12 little rocks or even little stones that we see, amen, in landscaping. But these were more, amen, of the bigger stones, kind of like what we would call a small boulder that they had to carry up on their shoulder. Amen, because they were going to build a memorial. They were going to stack these 12 stones, amen, there outside of the Jordan. Amen. What was, amen, the purpose? See, listen, I got to thinking about it. I hadn't thought about it much in all the times of reading this and preaching, amen, out of this chapter, amen, that it took a lot to carry those stones. It was not an easy thing. So we could say that it was a heavy burden. It was something that was a little bit tedious. It was not something that came naturally
natural. Amen. It was something, amen, that was a little bit harder. Amen. And can you imagine, even though they were told what they were going to do with it, wondering, this really don't make sense. What's the purpose in all of this? What's the purpose in carrying this heavy burden all the way over to the other side? Amen. So it wasn't an easy task. It would have been something that would have been a little tedious, especially because the ground was dry. The bed of the river had been dried up because God did it that way. But one by one, they carried the heavy burden on dry ground. Who am I talking to this morning? That you feel like you've been carrying the heavy burden on dry ground. Hallelujah. And one by one, they carried it over to the other side. What was the purpose? It was to build a memorial forever. Somebody say forever. Hallelujah. It was to commemorate the power of God on that day. He said it is to provoke your children that when they pass by to ask, Daddy, what are those stones there for? What are those 12 stones built up there for? So now their daddy could tell them, let me tell you about the day that those stones came up. You see that Jordan River? Those stones came up out of that river. And maybe, just maybe, amen, that they were one of the ones out of the tribes that had to take the task and to carry that heavy burden so that their children might know of the goodness and the power of God. Can I talk to a mom or a dad today that you feel like you're carrying a heavy burden? Amen. And it feels like it's of no avail. But I'm telling you, your children and your grandchildren will appreciate your obedience in carrying that heavy burden. Because he said it's going to provoke them. And they're going to be able to be a witness and say, let me tell you about the day that we were on the other side of Jordan. Oh, listen, I know you're used, amen, to this side of the Jordan. But there was a time when we wandered in the wilderness and we wandered around with a promise, thinking that it was never going to come to pass. Only hearing about the goodness of the Lord on the other side of the Jordan. But on this day, God showed up and he parted that Jordan River. And we took those stones, and these stones are a witness that our God is a deliverer. Our God is a way maker. Our God is a keeper of his word. Our God will fulfill what he has spoken. He will not fail his word. He will not let his word fall to the ground without fulfillment. Hallelujah. And with me, hallelujah, our God is faithful. And the priests walked to the brink of Jordan. I thought today, this morning, here they all begin to shake off the effects of the wilderness. Y'all know I'm in a wilderness, praise God. I don't have to reiterate, amen. And if you don't know that, you do now. And I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. There's nothing to be ashamed of. God wills for the purpose of making us what he needs us to be. Come on. Hallelujah. And here they are now. And they're ready to shake off the effects of the wilderness, ready to move into the Word of God. Is there anybody in this place that is willing to shake off the effects of the wilderness and ready to move into the Word of God? There's never been a time, been a generation that we need the Word of God, and we need to move into it. It is now. Because you see, our God is a way maker. And some of you right now don't see it. I know there's some of you listening to me this morning that don't see it. You haven't seen it, but look at me. I'm a living, breathing, hallelujah. I'm a walking, come on. Are you with me? Come on, hallelujah. I'm not just saying that. Praise God, hallelujah. I don't have time to, amen, reiterate my, amen, testimony, but I'm telling you, if it had not been for the grace of God, hallelujah, but there's been many times that I stood at the brink, amen, when it looked like disaster was impending, when I stood at the brink of opposition, I stood at the brink of overwhelming, the flood water swelling. It was the harvest season, so the water was up. Hallelujah. I stood at the brink of what looks like it was not going to change. But then all of a sudden, hallelujah, the faithfulness of God, amen, showed up. He's never failed me yet. We used to sing that chorus when I was growing up in church. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus Christ never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, I want the world to know that Jesus Christ never failed me yet. The generations to come would see the faithfulness of God. Parents, this is why you got to hold fast to the standards and the convictions of the Holy Ghost in your life and the Word of God as your standard of living, not the culture, not cultural Christianity, amen, not anything, amen, the status quo, but the standard of the Word of God. Your children don't get mad at you. They're going to huff and puff and stomp. Haley's done got herself a little girl that likes to stomp when she's mad. Stomp up them steps. Stomp one more time. Help us. But God called you to be their parent.
Right.
He chose to co-create them with you. He didn't call you to be their best friend.
Right.
Amen. I tell parents all the time, you gotta let them hate. You gotta love them enough to let them hate you.
Come on.
Come on. Yes, they will. Right? They're gonna hate the fact. But hold fast, because generations will see the faithfulness of God. That memorial would be built. Those 12 stones. So they weren't little landscape rocks. And then these were stones big enough to have to carry on their shoulder. And they took 12 of them and arranged them somehow as a memorial to where they could not see that we could preach right there, because if they were little rocks, they could be easily moved and taken down. Amen. Come on, but the average person passing by ain't gonna take the time to move these 12 boulders. Are you hearing me? Praise God. When God does it, He settles it. Amen. The enemy may try to move it out the way. Praise God. But if you were there, amen. Praise God. You don't know the cost of the oil in my box. Amen. But you weren't there the night He saved me. You weren't there the night that He set me free. Praise God. So don't be judging my praise. If I get a little radical, it's because my oil costs a lot. Amen. If it had not been for Jesus, I would not have a purpose in life. But while they were doing that, the Bible says that Joshua was out there in the middle of the Jordan. So while they were gathering these 12 stones and carrying them, and they were being obedient and carrying this heavy burden and this tedious task on this dry ground, Joshua was out in the middle of the Jordan gathering 12 more stones. But not only was Joshua gathering these stones, Joshua was arranging these stones in a particular way. He was placing them
where the feet of the priests had stood. As they stood in the midst of the Jordan for the people to cross over on dry ground, Joshua was now gathering 12 stones of his own and arranging them in the bottom of the Jordan River, so the other 12 bore the burden, but Joshua was arranging 12 stones on the riverbed that would stay beneath the surface of the Jordan.
Okay.
So while they were carrying the 12 stones out, Joshua was arranging 12 that were going to stay beneath the surface. See, the stones on the outside means that God has been faithful in the past to fulfill his promises.
Okay.
So he's done it in the past. Amen. It was evidence of the testimonies that will be told and written down and be recorded of the faithfulness of God. And we have no more mention of these stones in the Jordan River anywhere in the scriptures until John the Baptist shows up and comes on the scene. Then comes John the Baptist. And the Bible says that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting is John the Baptist never performed any miracles. He never called fire down from heaven. Amen. He did not raise the dead. Amen. Like Elijah and Elisha. Amen. There were no great miracles attached to John the Baptist. He simply prophesied, there's one coming after me. There is one coming whose shoes that I am not worthy to stoop down and unlatch. I'm not even worthy to get down and loosen the strap on his sandal. There's one coming after me. You don't know him now, but you'll know him when he comes. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? And he began to cry a message of repentance. He said, prepare the way of the Lord, for the Messiah is in the vicinity. Oh, hallelujah. He's somewhere close. I don't know exactly where he is now, but I know that he's coming. Will somebody touch your neighbor beside you and say, I don't know where he is right now, but I know that he's coming. Will somebody help me in this place? I don't know what's happening right now. I don't understand the purpose of carrying this heavy burden. I don't understand the real meaning of making this memorial. I know God's done it in the past, but I need a right now breakthrough. Come on, somebody. I need a present day, amen, victory. I don't know where he is, but I know he's in the vicinity, and I know that he's coming. We preached last week, Faith's vision says that he is going to show up. Oh, touch a neighbor once again and say he's on his way. Oh, come on, somebody. But get ready for it. He said, you got to prepare. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is why they were repenting and being baptized. It was showing their, amen, commitment to their repentance. It was a Jewish thing. Come on, somebody. It was representative. And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So I've come this morning to tell somebody who might feel discouraged, who might feel overwhelmed, who might feel distraught in your spirit. Your heart might be broken. Your spirit might be weary. Your body might be tired. You might be feeling the effects. But I come to tell you today, hallelujah, come on, somebody. Do not let the enemy get you to draw back or sit back, but prepare for his coming. Now, I'm not talking about the second coming. We need to prepare for that. But I'm talking about him showing up and the promise of God being revealed.
word for a Carol side, that he's going to show up at that time, at the right time, at the appointed time, at the time when it's not too late and it ain't too early. Oh, somebody help me. The winds might be blowing, as Brother Matt said, the storms might be raging, but I come to tell you today, hallelujah, stay down and humble before God. Keep a broken heart and a contrite spirit, because he's going to show up. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. I wish I had a dollar. Well, really, inflation, we might as well make it 10. Why settle for a dollar when you can have 10? I wish I had $10 for every time in the last year or so the enemy whispered, just stop.
Oh, yeah.
Bet
on the day. Bet on the day.
Just chill. Back off. Hold up. It's never, nothing's ever going to change. Come on, I wish I had $10 for every time that he tried to distract me with settling. Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Nothing better. Nothing better. Bubble. Bubble. Up. Up. Bubble. Can't even get himself up. Let alone get you up. But we make a. We make a way, right? Come on, that'll preach next week.
Make a way.
Don't stop preparing.
Come on now.
For the breakthrough.
Come on now.
I know that sounds cliche, and I hate, and so much of cultural Christianity has taken those kind of statements and made them so generic that people pay no attention. But don't stop preparing for him to show up. Come on. Don't stop preparing. John said, get ready. He's almost out today. So he preached repentance. So the stones on the outside represent what God has already done. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees showed up to see what all the hype was about. Because they heard, because all the people from Judea and Jerusalem were coming to John, the Bible says, and they were listening to this man who had a leather, a man around his waist covering, a man, his loins, and he was eating wild honey and eating locusts, a man, he was living off of a wilderness diet. Isn't it amazing that as the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness and shaking it off, John the Baptist was going in to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. They were shaking it off to go into the promise. John the Baptist was going into it to prepare for the promise fulfillment to come. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Don't question. Don't question where the Spirit of the Lord will send you and take you in your walk with God. So they began to question. And he sensed that, and he asked them, amen. He said to them, in verse 7, he said, when he saw them, amen, come to the baptism, he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
bring forth fruits that show me repentance. Show me you've come to repent. Oh, somebody help me. And don't say within yourselves, well, you are the children of Abraham. Don't say within yourselves that you've got the connection, somebody help me, because you are true Jews and Abraham is your father. He said, don't even come at me with that argument. And this is what he replied to them as he's standing at the Jordan. Amen. In the Jordan, baptizing people and they're coming. He says to them, because out of these stones, what stones? The 12 stones that Joshua laid at the feet of the priest. Somebody better help me. Hallelujah. Because we know what God has done in the past. Hallelujah. He brought them out and he gave them a temporary reprieve. But you see, Joshua, whose name was Yehoshua in the Hebrew, which is another version of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Was setting the stage because there's going to be one come. Hallelujah. He's going to include, amen, whosoever will, Jew and Gentile both. You got a temporary reprieve now, but there's coming a permanent, amen, deliverance. There's coming one who's going to fulfill it. Oh, somebody better help me. And John stood right there in that river where those stones were. And the Bible says that he said, out of these stones, one for every tribe, amen, of Israel. Out of these stones will come the children of Abraham. John didn't know probably all that he was talking about, but that wasn't just a Jew, but it was going to be, hallelujah, Jew and Gentile. Because when Jesus got done, amen, he grafted in, amen, every man. Hallelujah, because he said it ain't about the branches on the tree. We can cut the branches off. It's about the root that's in the tree. Hallelujah. Don't get excited for fruit. Amen. Fruit growth means root growth. If you're going to have fruit, you're going to see a root. Somebody better help me. And out of the stem of Jesse was the root, hallelujah, that God cut off. Amen. The wild branch. And he grafted it. And now all that will come can have that same covenant promise. Somebody better help me. Are you hearing me? So while the stones on the outside represented what God had already done, the ones beneath the water represented what God was about to do. The ones beneath the surface represent what God has yet to fulfill. We've seen what he's already done. We've got witness of it. But he's about to do, because he's working beneath the surface. I need you to get it. He's working beneath the surface. While you're carrying these heavy burdens, I was trying to carry something I don't know. So, while you're carrying these heavy burdens and this what seems tedious task of obedience, God's beneath the surface with a greater plan to be fulfilled. And he gets tiresome, he gets weary, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The ground is dry. Somebody better help me. Are you hearing me? And it feels like that it's never going to come to fruition. But I've come this morning to tell somebody that God is moving. He's working beneath the surface. He's already got something in place. Okay? Shemabakosaka. I feel that in the Holy Ghost today. He's already got the stones set in place. Nobody talked about him, amen, all those generations.
Everybody remembered what he did. Everybody remembered how, amen, that he brought their fathers out. This is why they thought they were exclusive, amen, to the covenant. And if they followed the laws and the religious duties, amen, that it would fulfill, amen, the covenant relationship. But God said, I got something greater. I've got one, amen, that the blood of goats and bulls will no longer be needed. When he comes, his blood is going to be shed once and for all, and it will bring salvation, which means deliverance for all the world. Somebody help me in this place. You see, you can't even imagine the salvation that's coming out of the burden. You can't even imagine what God has got prepared beneath the surface. Right now, all you can look at is what he's already done. Have you ever got a little weary of hearing what he's already done when you're in the middle of a battle? Am I the only one? You say, oh, I can't believe you said that. That offends God. No, it doesn't. God expects us to be stupid.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
He expects us to be human. Are you hearing me? He expects us to say, I don't know. Wait a minute. God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I know we get all this, propaganda. Oh, don't ever question the Lord. Don't ever. But listen.
See.
I ain't going to lie to you. I'm like, God, now wait a minute.
Yeah.
Somebody had not. Doodle May 6. May 4. Some days I'm like, okay, God, this is getting old, and so am I.
In there.
He's like, you ain't old. Look at that. My hair is white as wool. The ancient of days. We just understand it. And sometimes it's like, okay, God, and I'm thankful. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being condescending. I'm not being sacrilegious. When I say that, okay, God, I know you did this, right? Can you imagine now, again, if you're kids, right? Can you imagine this child has heard this story and they're walking past here? You know how grandpas like to tell the same story over and over and over and over again? Right? You ever met folks like that? I've got some regular customers at work that tell me the same story every time they come in. And I try my best to act.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But can you imagine walking past that place where that memorial is, and grandpa starts talking to the kids like,
go.
Do I have to hear this yet? I know, Grandpa. God, I know, I've heard the story 100 times. You don't need to tell me again, right?
I will be good.
There's times when you're carrying that heavy burden and you're walking in obedience and it's tedious and it doesn't make a lot of sense and you're doing your best to trust and obey. That okay, he's done this before, that hey now, I need to see something over here. Are you hearing me? Amen. And it's all those years, generations after generation passed, and those stones remained in the bed of the Jordan. John recalls the story about the stones of Joshua.
Think of all the storms that surfaced on the Jordan, and the stones remained unaffected. Think of all the droughts that took place in the Jordan, nearly drying up, but those stones remain unmoved. Can I tell you, when God's got a plan and God's got a purpose, there's not a storm, there's not anything that can move what He has already established.
Amen.
His word is settled. Come on, somebody, help me. I hope this is making sense to you today. John said, God's able to raise up some real children of Abraham out of these stones. Come on. Because Jesus was coming to fulfill the covenant of God for salvation. All the way back in the Old Testament at the Jordan. What He's got planned, He's working beneath the surface to bring about a greater plan. You see, those who bore the burdens, at the beginning of the sermon, those who have bore the burdens have got us to where we are today. Think about all of those from generations past who prayed when it looked like praying wasn't going to make a difference. Who stood in the gap, who walked in holiness, who kept the faith and stood the fight. That great cloud of witnesses that we have that carry those stones and those burdens so that we could have and see God fulfill what He has planned beneath the surface. While they were on the outside, Jesus was beneath the surface working when we can't see it. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. While you're bearing the burden and walking in obedience and dealing with the effects of the wilderness, God is putting things in place. He's placing stones where His presence, come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that ark was the presence of God, and they bore the ark, and where their feet stood is where the stones were placed.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome
oh,
is that?
Hallelujah, my Father. Hallelujah.
That God was looking so far into the future that He thought about you and me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, He had us in mind.
Oh, yes.
When Joshua was placing those stones, God had more than just the covenant Israel in mind. He had all creation. So while you're struggling with your circumstances and your situation this morning, God is working beneath the surface, putting things in place that He's going to reveal a greater plan. It doesn't make sense, and it's certainly it's not easy, but carrying the heavy burdens on dry ground,
mm-hmm.
knowing that God is working. See, past victories can be seen as we carry these burdens and obedience, and it encourages us, right? I'm not downplaying the things that God has done in the past. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, misinterpret my intentions here. My point is that we come to a place where we need a now miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need a now breakthrough. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the memorial serves its purpose. But there's a greater purpose that God is fulfilling. And all of the situation, the winds and the storms, as Matt described the ship being tossed on the stormy waves. The Bible speaks about a double-minded man and compares it to being tossed on the waves. How many is ever or is currently you feel like spiritually you're being tossed on the waves and you struggle to not be double-minded? Because one morning, you got this. But then the next morning, you're like, man, I'm not sure about all this. And so you really work to keep your mind transformed and your mind renewed in the midst of all the chaotic circumstances. Anybody understand what I'm saying today? Some days you feel holy, other days you feel holy. Like you got holes.
Yeah.
Everything's leaking out, right?
Yeah.
Add an E to that, changes your whole perspective. Feel like everything's cracked and all that you thought you had is leaking out or is leaked out. But you have to know that God is working beneath the surface. How many people crossed over and walked on those stones having no idea of what was coming? Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. We have to be unshakable. We have to be relentless. And God expects us to use what He's given us in the wisdom. One thing that I have learned and I decided in all of that, the chaos in our lives in the last year or so, but especially here in the last several months, is that I'm going to, once everything's settled down and we get all of the stuff that we need to get in place and all of the things that we need to do to be what we consider settled, I'm going to begin, and I'm asking God to help me, but I'm going to begin to utilize a Sabbath. I don't know what day that's going to be, but I'm going to utilize the Sabbath. I'm going to force myself. So there'll be a day, unless it's an emergency, you can always get a hold of somebody, but I will do my best to stay off of social media a Sabbath a week and try to take care of this physical body and this mental mind, right? And renew my spirit, stay out of everybody else's business, and everybody stay out of mine. Right? You get what I mean? And there's a reason that God said one day a week, rest. So I'm going to do my best. Now, I'm not going to declare that I'm going to do it right away. But I'm really working, doing my best. I feel convicted. There's a conviction in my heart for not utilizing that. I don't know how it's going, but anyway, you'll know what I know. So if you try to get a hold of me, you can't get a hold of Luann or someone else, she can always find me. Are you hearing me? You understand what I mean?
Amen.
And so God's got so many things in place for us. And he's working beneath the surface. He has moved already in place the things that will be revealed in His time. Because when Jesus stepped in the Jordan,
see,
And we know when he was coming, John said, "Behold, this is the one I'm talking about. Here he comes. Here he comes." Don't you even say he's coming? He's coming. I feel that this morning. I feel that this morning. He's coming. John said, "There he is. I told you he was coming. There he is. Make no mistake. That's the Lamb of God." And when he stepped in the Jordan, I thought this morning, I just, if nothing else for me, I just know Jesus had to stand right in the place where one of us goes. What happened when he stepped in the Jordan? It didn't part. It didn't come dry ground. But the heavens opened. And a dove came down and rested on his shoulder. Was the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And a voice came out of heaven and said, This is what y'all been waiting on. This is your answer. This is the remedy. This is the solution that John's been talking about. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Okay.
And when he came out, where did he go? The Holy Ghost took him straight to the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? Like they came out of the wilderness. I never thought about that until today. Here they came out of the wilderness, shaking it off. And you got John and Jesus in the wilderness, taking it on so that we could have the freedom that we have right now. John lost his head. John was beheaded for what he was preaching and prophesying. And Jesus came and brought salvation and breakthrough and miracles and signs and wonders. And I've come this morning, as they get ready to come to the music, I've come this morning to tell someone that while you know what God has done in the past and you've seen the things he's done for you in the past, God wants me to tell you he's working beneath the surface. And he's already putting in place and arranging for a breakthrough, a victory, a miracle, a change, a transformation, a revelation, a revealing. He's arranging it right now beneath the surface, even though you can't see it. I believe all that he's done. And I know things I could tell you. We could all build memorial walls of what God has done for us. Besides save us. Right? That should be the foundation stone. The first one that he saved us. But we could all put stones of remembrance. But there's some people here today that need a now move. You know, beneath the surface of it all, he's got it in place. His word has established it. Stand with me across this sanctuary today. Is raging. The circumstances seem impossible. Things seem to be keep piling higher and higher. And the burden is heavy as you carry that stone in obedience. As you carry that burden. But while you're carrying the burden, Jesus is arranging beneath the surface.
Amen. Amen.
Say, get ready to worship. If you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, everything that I've talked about today, all that Jesus did, he did for you.
Amen.
So you could be saved. Saved from what? The consequence of sin. The penalty of sin. He paid the price. While everything was happening, God was working beneath the surface because he had a greater plan. So come to tell you that I believe that there's change coming. God's working. I couldn't help but think about Esther when I was preparing this message this morning. Working behind the scenes. His name not even mentioned anywhere in the book, but his hand was all over. Hallelujah. His hand was all over. So his hand is upon your life today. He's brought you here to tell you you need Jesus as Lord of your life. So if you're here today and you're lost, I want to give you the invitation to come. You're not saved. But maybe you're here today and you say, that's me, Pastor. I'm trying to walk in obedience. I'm doing my best to follow the way and the will of the Lord. But the burden is heavy. I want you to know God sees you today. But also need you to know he wants you to hear that he's arranging for a greater plan to be revealed beneath the surface. You can't see it. You know what he's done in the past. But he wants you to know that he's getting ready to do something of greater purpose. So if that's you today and you're in here and you say, I feel that burden. I'm that one that shifts the storm-driven water, those waves. I believe and I know what God has done in the past, and I see it, but I need a now. I need a now change. But I believe God's working beneath the surface. I want you to come. We're going to pray with you as they begin to worship.